Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of Pilgrim Bible Study with Pastor Chris. In today's lesson, we'll be exploring the compassion of Jesus Christ as he interacts with a leper in Mark chapter 1. As we dive into this powerful story, we hope you'll find new insights on how God feels about us and our responsibility to love others.
Nearing the very end of Mark chapter 1. And this is one of two times that we see in the New Testament a healing from leprosy. This is the only one of two times that we see this in the Gospels. The other is in the Gospel of Luke, where there were a group of lepers that Jesus healed. And what's unique about this passage that we're looking at is that Jesus, we see something unique in him. We see how Jesus felt. We often hear about his parables. We often look at things that he did, which the things that he did are what Mark concentrates on. But in this case, we hear about how Jesus felt, and that's very important. The sermon title is The Compassion of the King, and I want you to understand what that means to us and our understanding of who God is and how he views us and what our obligation is as believers. So first, I want to look at verse 40. Sorry, let me open my giant Bible again. And it says that a leper came to Jesus and beseeched him, falling on his knees before him, said to him, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." And the first thing that we see about the leper, that he had either seen the miracles of Jesus or he heard about them, but either way, he believed that Jesus could heal him. And that forced an action, and his action was to come to Jesus. The only question he had was Jesus going to be willing to do it? And I want you to understand something about leprosy. What a horrible disease it is. It's actually not gone from the world. At least one source that I read said there's over 200,000 people with leprosy today. It may be much higher. This is predominantly in third world nations. It's also known as Hansen's disease. And it is mostly painful socially and emotionally. It is physically painful, but not for long. It kills and destroys the nerves of the body. And so therefore, body parts are actually lost. And it causes horrible discoloration of the skin. And what's so bad about it is that in the Old Testament, people with leprosy were commanded to depart from the rest of the fellowship of Israel. They had to walk around with their mouths covered, and they had to shout out, "Unclean, unclean." And so this was a person who wasn't just suffering physically, but he was suffering very much emotionally. He was a social outcast. And so he trusted in Jesus's power to heal. The question, as always, is, do you? There's a really good analogy here to leprosy and comparing it to sin. Sin, I don't know if you realize, is much worse than leprosy. You know, if you don't have complete assurance of your salvation today, understand that you can. Today, right now, where you're sitting. And the disease of sin is worse than leprosy because everybody has it. Everybody. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So there's no one who escapes this particular disease. We're born into it. And its effects are lastingly terminal. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin," what you earn, "is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So, you know, it has an ongoing effect. What this does is, if you leave this earth without putting your faith in Jesus Christ and repenting of your sin, then when you leave this earth, there will be a second death after the first one. There is a physical death that we all experience. Every human being will at some point experience this. But there is a second death for those who have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So this disease has worse effects than leprosy. And the fact is that only Jesus can cure it. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." And so I just want to make that offer to you today, that if you've never trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you can be a part of the family of God. You can be forgiven. And Jesus wants to do it. Romans 10:13 says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's you too. Verse 41, we see his reaction to the leper. And it's important that those who are not sure of their salvation understand this too. And understand it if you are a believer and you're just struggling or you're feeling down. Jesus was moved with compassion. So we learned something about God here. We learned that God cares about human suffering. You may have not have thought of it. You may feel like no one really cares about your current situation. You feel like no one understands. But the Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, yet without sin. And so because he was tempted as we are, yet without sin, we can come boldly before the throne of grace, knowing that Jesus not only cares for you, but he understands how you feel. And so he was moved with compassion, and that's an exciting thing. We see this again in another place, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because it's the shortest verse in the Bible. John 11:35 says that Jesus wept. I love this verse because it reminds us of, again, of how God looks at people, how God feels about you, how God feels about me. Here in this circumstance, Lazarus had died. Jesus knew what he was going to do. He knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But when he saw the effects of sin, when he saw those that were suffering and crying and hurting over the loss of Lazarus, it says that Jesus broke down and wept. And you know, that's how he feels about you. Regardless of who you are, that's how he feels about you. And if you've never trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's how much he loves you. He hurts with you. And you know, there's another passage in Mark 10:21. This is a different circumstance. There's a rich young ruler who Jesus knew would reject him. He knew he would reject him. He would choose his riches over Jesus. But it says in this passage that Jesus looked at the rich man and loved him. So this is God. This is an insight into who God is. And, you know, for God's children, the question is, will this world see the love of Christ in you and I? I've seen it in our church a lot. There are different times when I was out of work or my family was struggling, and I had brothers and sisters in Christ come alongside my family and help us. And I've seen people in our church do wonderful things to help other people. And this is a challenge for us to love like Christ loved. Understand that the Bible says really clearly that we are being conformed into the image of God. It's everywhere in the Bible. God wants us to make us like Jesus Christ. And so, you know, we need to reflect that love that we have through the Holy Spirit. You know, when I think of really good examples, I think of Mr. Rogers. Our youth group years ago used to joke that Pastor Spaulding looked a lot like Mr. Rogers. And he came to really take that as a compliment. Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, was a Presbyterian minister who regularly taught lessons of love, compassion, and selflessness to children. Where Sesame Street focused on teaching kids numbers and letters, Mr. Rogers taught kids how to be a good neighbor. And, That's what God wants us to be. And, you know, I think about the call that we have to go out into all the world with the good news of the gospel. And Acts 1:8, it says that we'll receive power from the Lord to share the good news of the gospel. And he says in Jerusalem, Philadelphia, our neighborhood here, this is our Jerusalem. Judea, Samaria. Samaria represents people of different cultures. Do you have friends? Do you have people that you love who look different than you, who have a different culture than you or a different background? You should, because that's the kind of love that God has. And I'll give an example. Mr. Rogers, there was the 1964 Civil Rights Act, but a lot of states and a lot of people did not honor this law, and they continued to practice segregation. And as a matter of fact, at the time Mr. Rogers' show was on, there was an event that made national news where there was a hotel owner who owned a pool, and there were people of color in that pool, and he kicked them out. And he poured cleaner into the pool while they were there. Well, Mr. Rogers didn't let this go unnoticed because he had an answer to what he thought of it. He had an episode not long after this had happened where he was in a swimming pool out in front of his house and he was dipping his feet in the water. And Officer Clemens, a character from the show who was a man of color, Mr. Rogers offered to have him take the pool and share the pool with him. Officer Clemens said, "But there's only one towel." And he said, "We can share the towel together. Let people see that in us. We are one family in Jesus Christ. And we have a country right now that's racially divided. I believe that revival in Jesus Christ is the answer. Because in Christ, we are one family. And we love each other. And so let people see that great love in us as well." As we move on, and I'm sorry I got very emotional, but I think that's a beautiful story. As we move on, we see that when Jesus was moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing to be cleansed." He also reached out and touched the man. He did more than just heal him. He could have said, "Be healed," or he could have even thought, "Be healed," and the man would have been healed. But see, here's the difference, is that that man had been devoid of human contact, devoid of human love and touch. So Jesus did more. He reached out his hand and touched an untouchable person and displayed that love. And then verse 42 says, "And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed." So when Jesus heals, he doesn't heal by halves. He completely heals. And, you know, that's why when people are sick, we pray for healing, because we know God can completely heal. And our only question is the same as the leper. He said, "Are you willing?" That's why a lot of times when we pray, we say, "Lord, if you're willing, give a complete healing," because we know that he can do it. And he can do actually much more than we would ever ask. So he heals this man immediately and completely. Verses 43 and 44. Verses 43, it says, "He sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone.'" We'll stop there for a moment. Jesus said to the man, "Don't go spreading this around." He showed compassion on him. He gave him the healing he asked for. But Jesus already was having people crowd him. And so he, for a very specific purpose, asked the man not to spread it around because he wanted to continue on with his ministry and go as many places as he could. And then the other part of verse 44, it says, "But go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a testimony to them. Now, this was Jesus doing two things. Number one, he was saying and declaring that he would be obedient to the word of God, that he was always out to do the Father's will. So should we. We should be out to do the Lord's will at all times. And this is found in Leviticus 14. There was for cleansing of leprosy, there was a specific sacrifice that had to be made, and you present yourself to the priest. This would include this man going to the temple in Jerusalem. So he would have to go some distance to do it. But Jesus is always he's always upholding the law. But he also did it as a testimony to the priests. Even though he didn't want everyone to know that he had personally healed this man, he was declaring the glory of the kingdom of God coming to earth. So God would get the glory from the healing. So Jesus was doing those two things, giving glory to God the Father, because God's glory is our chief goal. Remember that at all times. And he was also upholding the law. And so he's declaring those two important things. Now, we want to look at his reaction. We could choose to be stern to him about the leper, but we want to look at all the reasons why he may have done what he did. Verse 45 says, but he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news about to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. So it had a really negative effect. Now, the man may have done it because he was so grateful, he just wanted to tell everyone. But the point I want to make to you is this: we can never rationalize disobedience to God. Whatever it is, if we are disobeying and saying, well, I'm doing it for this reason, or well, I'm doing it for that reason. No, we can't rationalize disobedience to God, because disobedience to God will never have a positive result. It can't. It just can't. So he may have meant well, but it worked out bad, and Jesus knew it would. And remember this, John 14, 15 says, and this verse needs to be before us every day, if you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my commandments. And so he should have obeyed, but he didn't. And as a result, it kind of put a real hindrance in Jesus's ministry, in that he now had to go to unpopulated areas. And even then, people were coming to him from everywhere. So it actually lessened the amount of places Jesus could have gone to. So again, if you disobey God, there can be no rationalization for it. It won't work out. So as I close this message, I just want to say this, that if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ ever, know that to those who receive him, those who believe in him, he has given the right to be called the children of God. That's the kind of love that he has. He wants to be your daddy. He wants to love you in a way that you've never been loved before. And he wants you to live for his glory. And I just want to tell you that whatever you give up when you become a Christian, being a disciple is not easy. Whatever you give up cannot compare to the glory that God will reveal to us in Christ Jesus. It can't compare. And so I want to urge you today, be reconciled to God. And for those who are already believers, let us practice the love and compassion of Jesus Christ in this world. Let's go out like some of us did yesterday, sharing the good news of the gospel. Let us go out, share Christ, and meet physical needs as well. And God will get the glory. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Pilgrim Bible Study. We hope that you found this discussion on compassion of Jesus Christ both thought-provoking and inspiring. Remember to practice the love and compassion of Christ in your daily life, sharing the good news of the gospel, and meeting physical needs along the way. God bless you all.